Oh, I do like a raffle. Good. So I'm going to ask you to enter a raffle today. And I'm going to give you three free entries into my raffle. And this raffle will have three different prizes, okay? So I'm going to introduce you to the prizes one at a time. First off, we have this rather remarkable chocolate bar. It is a Kit Kat. I'm sure you're familiar with the Kit Kat. Unfortunately, it's not one of the old foil ones because they were much more fun than these plastic wrap things. But regardless, it's also coffee flavored, which is new. So if you haven't had a coffee Kit Kat, it's quite a high value prize right here. So you can enter that. You've got three choices, three cards. You can make a vote with each one. And the second one is something that may be less familiar to you. This is a prize of 20 ADA. So is everybody familiar with 20 ADA? Do you know what that is? Okay, well, I got a hand up. Cryptocurrency, yes. Crypto, very good, sir. So that is 20 ADA. I'm sure you know exactly how much that's worth to you. but trust me, it's a valuable prize, okay? And then finally we have the most important prize of all. This is one pre-loved toothbrush. No, that was the one I'm going to use from now on. This is pre-loved. Pre-loved in that I don't love it anymore. It's not really doing its job, but I'm offering it to you for free. So, you know, someone's treasure or someone's trash is someone else's treasure. Good for around the taps, yeah. Thanks, Gene, yeah. You pumped my toothbrush. So come and get three pieces of paper. You can write your name on them. And we've got a bucket of pens here. And then you can enter the raffle. Come on down, come on. Get involved. So you can put all three into one of the containers. You can put one into each. You can put... You can put two into one into another. So it's a bit of a promo. I've had the Kit Kat. It was really nice. I really enjoyed the Kit Kat. So that's got my recommendation. Yeah, right. 20 ADA is my favorite cryptocurrency. That last time I gave 20 ADA away, it was worth, I think, about 14p. So it's currently standing at about 95p per ADA. So
28. Oh,
yeah. But it's complicated to get hold of. In fact, Lily. Yeah, Lily is owed 20 ADA, so bear that in mind. Said it publicly now. You can put more than one into one of the things. The toothbrush has done a good job. It's reached my wisdom teeth. It's reached my molars. My gums are fresher than they've ever been. However, it's declined in its performance since then, and now it's not very good. So each of you will have a different opinion on the value. Yeah. Oh, well, we're getting quite a lot of votes here. So write your name. Just name.
Yeah.
On three pieces.
What does the ADA look like?
The ADA is digital currency, so it doesn't look like anything. It's in the blockchain, in the cloud, in the internet.
That sounds like crypto.
It is crypto.
I listen to crypto stories. I don't like it.
And on that one. So each of you will have a different opinion on what's valuable to you. And not actually, if you can stick it up, that'd be fine. You can get that going if any time, the PowerPoint. Each of them is valuable to you. You'll have a different opinion. Each of us will have a different opinion on what's valuable to us, especially out of those three things. I've experienced a toothbrush. I know how good it was, but It is pre-loved now, so.
John.
Yeah. Excellent. I love that.
Yeah, that's to
that's amazing. That's my favourite story now. Am I allowed to share that with other people?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, you can't buy Bitcoin on Amazon, unfortunately. The delivery driver doesn't know what to do with it. So you can win Kit Kat.
So if you want a Kit Kat, put your name in that tub.
And we've got that PowerPoint up, Cliff, that'd be great.
Or toothbrush, or this one. So just
perfect.
Just leave them in there if you want to.
No, this is fine for now.
Sorry.
Trying to avoid that, never mind. So this session is about guarding the truth, about being a guardian of the truth. And we know what we value in this church. We value the Bible, we value what it's that it's been passed down to us, generation to generation, that it's been kept accurate. We value that it is a revelation of what's inside our hearts, what we believe we know about Jesus has all been written down into the book, and we value it highly. The Kit Kat, the toothbrush, and the Ada, they all represent different stores of value, and none of them are quite as valuable as the Bible. I think we'd all probably safely agree that. Yeah. Sorry? The Kit Kat is close. Depending on the time of day, and sometimes I might pick up a Kit Kat over a Bible, unfortunately. So I can see in here, I'm not going to count all these because I've had such high entry. There's a lot of people who've gone for the Ada, which is, you know, I'm quite happy about that, quite pleased. There's slightly more, I think, that have gone for the Kit Kat. That's just very, and most surprising of all to me is that some people have actually gone for gone for the toothbrush. So I'm going to pick out some names now. Let's start with the toothbrush. So drum roll, please. You can all slap your thighs. And the winner of the glorious pre-loved toothbrush for today is Forsyth! So come collect your prize. This is yours to take home. It is. You could do that as you wish. There is a bin on the way out. And let's go for the Ada next, because I think that's second. Who would like... Oh, I can't hold it. Sorry. Who would like to reveal the winner of the Ada prize? No? Okay, shall I just do it? I'll just do it. Okay. I'm picking out a name. The name of the winner is... Bucci! Oh! So... Bucci's getting to 88er, and Lily's getting to 88er. We need to get together and figure out how we're going to get wallets and 48er between you. Yeah, this is good. And then last and most exciting of all, we're going to have a raffle for the Kit Kat. Let me see. Gina! So, unfortunately, it's not a Bitcoin, but I'm sure you'll appreciate that. Very good. So, if we can have the next slide up, please. Does anyone know this building? Fort Knox. And in fact, it's been in the news quite a lot recently because there are rumours. It's supposed to be like the standard for storing gold. And America has the most gold of anyone in the world. And it's all supposed to be stored away in Fort Knox. This is how they defend it. 30,000 soldiers with tanks and helicopters. 2 electrified fences and a minefield, so that's not somewhere you can easily just go and visit. It's got granite walls that can survive an atomic bomb. It's got a bunker underneath it as well. I think actually this is just like the top surface. Camera surveillance over every square inch, corridors that can be flooded, and inside it, America's stored all its gold. It's very exciting. But the rumours are, the internet's telling me, that actually there may be no gold in there anymore. They may have half-inched it and run away with it as politicians over the years. So yeah, they could be defending nothing. And so Trump and Elon Musk, they want to go into Fort Knox, because they're not even allowed in. The president's not allowed in. They want to go into Fort Knox, wander around with a live streaming webcam, and then we can all see if they've actually got gold in there or not. That's what they want to. If that happens, I think that'd be hilarious. But something very powerful, something very important, we'll put into that bunker and protect it, life and death. But now only very few people know whether it's in there or not. So it's all very strange. Is it in there? We all know about Fort Knox. We all are interested, but there might be nothing in. And so that represents the expense on defending and securing that gold is higher than most budgets of small countries. So do we value the gold more than we value the Bible? Well, not here, not in this room, but I suspect there are several other rooms around the world where people perhaps do. And certainly the soldiers and tanks and helicopters would go to testify that. I don't know many Bibles that are being protected in that way. However, it is up to us to defend the truth. So if we could have the next slide up, please. Actually, I've got a clicker. Will that clicker work? The clicker, will that work?
No, I haven't got it.
Okay. So, yeah, next up, we're going to guard the truth. And again, next one. So in Proverbs 4:13 it says, keep hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. And this is talking about teaching, instruction from the Bible. So this is how valuable we should place it, we should put, treat it as though we are in armor and we're protecting every piece of the word. The value of the truth in it is important to us. And next slide again. So if you are... I've forgotten what that slide was. It's a Pelican Crossing, but I can't remember the relevance of truth. Keep more good ideas. Keep them going. Yeah, I think it's just saying. Nice, I like that. That's a good interpretation. I think it's just saying that if you don't obey the rules, the instructions that are within a Pelican Crossing, you can end up flat, which is at the right time as well. Listen for the beeps, and that's very important. So next up, we have contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So we've had instruction. We've been told to be sensible about it, to look where we're going, be careful, but we're also being told to contend for the faith. And contending is about competing, it's about fighting, and it's actually about being aggressive over our faith. So this is more than just being sitting back and listening. This is actually equipping yourself to be able to defend it with vigor, with fervor. There was a evangelist used to come to the church from Kenya, Steve Masisi, and he was, what was his name was the Thunder or something like that. Yeah. Big voice, little guy, big voice, and he would say, the violent take it by force. And there's a verse in the scripture that talks about truth and knowledge and being violent about protecting it. And this is what we're called to do. So it's not only about being passive, it's not always about just being mollifying, but actually being able to defend our truth with care and with vigor. Well, it all comes clear. So next slide, please. Oh, very good. No, that was off. That was next. There we go. How do we guard the truth? So we can train our brains and we can learn his story. So if you are looking to defend something in a debate, you'll go into it with heightened emotions. You'll go into it with high adrenaline, and you'll sit down, you'll be prepared, you'll have notes, and you'll be thinking, I'm going to I'm going to protect, and I'm going to nail the other guy on the points that they're going to slip up on. And that requires you to have done some training, to have got your brain engaged and thinking. And so, you know, that's often been a question for me is, are we asked to switch off our brains when we come into a church service? No, we're not. We're asked to be aware and awake and test everything that's put before us. So just like Jane's upset with me that I'm talking about violence, she's challenging me, and that's the way it should be. We should be thinking, well, that doesn't sit well with me, doesn't make sense. And that way we go away, we chew over it, we mull over it, we work those muscles to get equipped to be able to follow up on the points being made. So we need to train our brains. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are there renewing our minds. It's not about being stuck in a rut. It's not about learning things by rote. It's by working on it, exercising, renewing our minds. And 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. And for me, this is one of the most important things. This is where I do need to get a bit violent, because I have things bombarded on me all day, every day, that seem very plausible and seem very real. But unless I'm active, then I won't rise up and defend my beliefs against those thoughts. So the internet is full of wild ideas, crazy thoughts. Is there gold in Fort Knox or isn't there? Does this alter our perception or our understanding of the Bible? Do we check that every time we're hearing something? Now, if we hear something that sounds very plausible, do we test it or do we just adopt it? And that's what this is asking us to do. Take every thought captive. We can't just let things wash over us and sink in when they may be something we should be defending against, being active. Ephesians 4, verse 14 says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So this is one thing that I've heard through church service over the years as well, is being tossed to and fro by waves of doctrine. And so this isn't even necessarily things coming from outside, you know, from realms of science or from philosophy. These are things actually within our own teaching, within our own services that we're hearing. We can't let our opinions be swayed so rapidly that we're just being tossed to and fro. We've got to figure out what it is that we believe in our hearts, what it is we can set our test our faith on. Always go back to those foundations before we allow our opinions to be changed. And this is a safety measure so that we do continue to mature and to grow. Like it says here, to grow up in our... I think the batteries might be going in this, Cliff. Cliff? I think the batteries might be going in this. I don't know if we've got another one. No, the batteries. And so if we've got a new doctrine that comes in, like I remember one time I was challenged over two doctrines, both important things. One was Christus Victor, and the other was penal substitution atonement theory. And I was like, oh, they sound like good philosophies to learn. I shall sit down and study this theology behind it all. And actually, one was very contrary to how I'd been raised and taught throughout all my church thing. So it's to do with whether you think Christ died for our sins because he was taking the penalty for our sin, for a sin, or actually was he just victorious over sin? And these are very subtle differences in theology. And actually, all my teaching has been around, yes, it was about Christ suffering, about Christ dying, sacrificing himself to pay for the sin in the world, to pay for the sin in my life. And that's the one that I've, you know, put down in my foundations and my roots. And Christus Victor, it sounds all very good and everything, but it's denying some of the power of what Christ did. In my opinion, I probably need to study it more. And so that was one of the things that I've done. Yeah, we don't talk about those terms so often. So when we are studying things, when we're challenging anything we're learning, we're testing doctrines that are coming before us, we need to put on our biblical glasses, because the foundation of our truth is the Bible. If you can base everything in that, then it's far easier to keep hold of, to avoid those winds and waves that will toss and sway you. It's the right way to look at things. And so anything you hear, always go back to the Bible, test it there first. So what's the first way to guard the truth? We should learn his story. Because within all of the Bible, the fact the only point of having a Bible at all is because of Jesus. And so learning his story is where you can start the foundations of your faith. So biblical history says that we had creation. We had the fall, where Adam sinned. We had redemption, where Jesus came and saved us. And we've got a glorious future ahead of us in heaven, in the restored earth. Restoration. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. And so there, God created. We're taking that as a foundational premise within the Bible. I think we probably all believe that God created the world. We believe that man sinned, because we're still sinning today. And we certainly believe that Jesus saved, because that's why we're here. And we know whether we have got a bright future ahead of us, because God restores. And those four things are very simple, but actually they're the bedrock. And if you let those sway, then things start to get shaky. So our faith in Jesus comes from understanding those things, from stamping them in our hearts and setting our post, our all our basis from those. If we go into them and start to challenge them, then we end up on shaky ground. And really that is what a lot of the media will put towards you, what philosophy, theology, politics, everything is trying to move you away from these original tenets of faith. And that is a strategic work of the devil, I would say. And I don't credit the devil with much, but I know that he is working to shake the foundations of our faith every opportunity. And so within those four blocks, the earth, the fruit, the cross, and heaven, we've got tenets in there. The original sin. You know, if we start to shake whether there was original sin, shake that belief, which is what was coming into me by studying that Christus Victor versus pain and substitution theory, then actually the original sin can be pulled as an important feature of it. And once you do that, then there's very little reason for us to believe that Jesus came to save us, because why did he need to save us if there was no original sin? Very much did so. And another one that gets shaken and prodded and poked a lot is Jesus God incarnate? You know, that's what John and Mark were at the temple defending, that belief. You know, is Jesus God? Did Jesus himself say that he is God? And Mark goes through the Bible and teaches there's several places where it's very clear that Jesus is saying, I am God incarnate. And what was amazing that came out of his last debate at the university was that the Muslims that were there defending their faith, they ended up acknowledging that yes, the Bible does say that Jesus said he was God, which is an amazing victory for you know, those Muslims to be able to acknowledge that, because that's one of the things that they're taught very strongly, is that the Bible doesn't say that. And so if they can see, well, actually the Bible does say that, then they've got something that's going to niggle away, that's going to be eating away at them to think on. And the empty tomb, you know, there's lots of prods and pokes about, well, Jesus might not have died, he might have just been unconscious for 3 days and then woke up again, and or you know, maybe his body was stolen and the stories afterwards were just made up, and you know, all these little things, niggles. But actually, you know, this is written down in our Bible, and we've got to take hold of them, believe them, faith, put them into the foundations of our faith and work with them. What's the second way to guard the truth? Need to go back to my notes, sorry. So yes, those four things, God created, man sinned, Jesus saves, and God restores, they are crucial. And they're like, in Kids Club, we always used to do the four most important things. I have sinned. Jesus died for me. I have sinned. oh no, I've forgotten them. And I must choose to live for God is the fourth one. There's another one there somewhere that I can't remember. Dear. Anyway, but they're very similar to these. So God created, man sinned, Jesus saves, and God restores. And so our biblical truth comes a lot from historical knowledge. The Bible is written down by men. None of us, I don't believe that God wrote out the Bible and then delivered it, the New King James and the New Living Translation and the, you know. We definitely acknowledge that man has been involved in this process of getting the Bible to us these days. But do we believe that it is God inspired, God breathed? And that's a critical part of our belief and faith as well. So in the beginning with, this is Jesus' words. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So this is Jesus in a temple sitting down teaching. And he's saying from the beginning with Moses. And from that we understand that he was teaching out of the Old Testament. Because obviously the New Testament wasn't around yet, because he started it. Yeah, good clue there. So he was teaching from the Bible, from the Old Testament, about the first five books of the Bible, which Moses had written. And in those books, you know, there's the creation story, there's the promise of Jesus' coming, and all the scriptures concerning Jesus. He's teaching from the Bible. So if we believe that Jesus is God, and that's who we're putting our faith in, then we know that Jesus was teaching from the Old Testament, and he wouldn't be deceiving anybody by teaching from a book that wasn't true and real and word by word, you know, take it as is, as written history. And so everything in that Old Testament is something that we have to contend with, we have to settle within ourselves, and be confident in our faith. And that's sometimes a challenge. For example, creation is a miracle. It's hard to believe. Jesus dying and coming back to life, that's another miracle. You know, we don't know many people that have died and come back to life, unless it's through, you know, resuscitation or something like that. But 3 days dead and underground is something else. Being God incarnate. Can God, the creator of the universe, actually inhabit a physical body? Just be like one of us walking around, eating, drinking, stubbing his toe. It's a remarkable thing to comprehend. But that's what the Bible tells us. That's what's happened. So some of the ideas in the world will be contrary to these things. So can anybody name some of these false ideas that are thrust at us, that challenge us in our belief? Evolution. Evolution number one, very good. Aliens, number two, very good. So the Big Bang, yes. So, I mean, to me, that's the one of the largest things that I was taught at school was everything is millions of years old, everything started from nothing, and for life to exist on this planet, then it must have originated from a biogenesis on underground, underwater volcanoes, and all of it was very plausible at the time. You know, when you're studying, sitting in a biology lesson or a chemistry lesson, it can make sense. But actually, if you go back to the original concept of evolution, is that everything started with a Big Bang, because before that there was nothing, and then it exploded and gave us everything over millions of years. And that's what you're told to have faith in if you don't believe the Bible. You know, if you're getting rid of God, that's what you're told. Everything was created from nothing. But what is the definition of nothing? There's nothing there. Right? So how can this be? And in fact, that is a massive leap of faith. Like, how can you sit and believe that everything came from nothing? And that's what you have to believe if you believe in evolution. And so that is a massive challenge. And yet, you know, I have my moments where sometimes I'm thinking, yeah, you know, maybe, you know. No, we're baffled. We're tossed and thrown by winds and waves. It's very clear when you look at it. There is rationality in the Bible. It's just, it makes sense. And it makes sense because these are things that humans like us have written down and relayed stories, had great experiences with God, have had miracles, experienced miracles, you know, in their lives, have written them down carefully, and then those words have been copied immaculately throughout the centuries, so that we know that the words written down today are extremely similar to words from thousands of years ago. And you know, that's another amazing thing, is that there is more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus, more in a historical proof than for the resurrection of Jesus than there is for the existence of Julius Caesar. So we all believe in Julius Caesar quite easily, so it should be fairly obvious that, you know, we're believing in him because there's a historical record that's written down, stories about him. Exactly the same. There are more stories, historical records, eyewitness accounts of Jesus' resurrection and appearance after death than there is for the existence of Jesus. Remarkable. So, now that... Sorry? Julius Caesar, sorry, yeah. And that is, you know, a remarkable truth that, again, we just need to not be tossed and turned by waves. So what are some things Christians believe that many others do not? We've covered a lot of them today already. Jesus was God. Jesus was God, yeah. yeah. Which is phenomenal, isn't it? Jesus was God. You know, God loved us so much. He made himself human to live with us, to do, you know, to be on this earth, knowing full well what his story was going to be, what was going to play out, the way we were going to treat him. Yeah, that's true love. That's amazing. God created everything, yeah. It wasn't just some random bumping together. You know, the chances of the world coming to where we are now, it's more likely for this pencil to be able to stand upright on its tip than for most of the stasis of the universe. Like, it would take me forever to get that standing on its pencil tip. But that's what we have to believe if we're following evolution. And, you know, the universe is so finely tuned, it makes no sense other than that there was a designer involved, there was a creator involved who put things in place in infinitesimal detail. So, yeah, certainly God created everything. Anything else some Christians believe, or Christians believe that others don't? Yeah. No, some people believe we come back again to live as a mole or a horse. Some people believe, yeah, some believe it's just channel gets turned off and it's just and yeah, that's what most people believe, again, who are following evolution and scientific theory. And the whole of this course material goes on to talk in depth about science and about empirical science, what's real, what can be trusted, what can be tested. And that's the science that gives us Wi-Fi and Teflon and the things that really make life dramatically better. Some would question that, but yeah, yeah, remarkable things. But there's also science that's based on guesswork, conjecture, believing things stayed the same throughout time. You know, that's the only way that the reason we have millions of years in the Bible, in the history of the earth, is because it can't work without them. If we are going to have animals evolving from one species to another, then it can't possibly happen overnight, because that doesn't make any sense. So let's just put millions of years in there quick. So all these things will be borne out throughout the course, and that's what we're teaching the kids, and the kids are thriving on it, because it gives you a foundation to base your understanding from. If first of all you understand, okay, everybody's got a picture of the world, they're looking at it through the window that they've chosen to look through it at, That's the starting point. And actually, if you just are willing to swap windows, next time you see a nice shiny one, then you're never going to settle. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to have a foundation you can live and thrive on. And ultimately, I believe that the biblical window is the best window I've ever looked through. It just, everything makes sense far more quickly, far more rationally. Now, when you engage your brain, it just is the one that answers. You know, there is something outside of this universe that created this universe, and we can't get away from that fact, and that is Jesus, that is God. What steps can we take to make sure we think like God wants us to and not be squeezed into the world's mold?
Read the Bible,
yeah, very good. What difference does it make whether or not the Bible tells the truth about history? Yeah, exactly. If the Bible is lying to us, then it's a worthless book.
Yeah.
So do you... Exactly, yeah. And she, your mum's a very wise woman. And if there were lies in the Bible, we would have to throw it away. Are there lies in the Bible? No. No. So let's read it all in confidence. What else will you take away? What's the biggest thing you'll take away from the session today? Other than the Kit Kat. Violence. Well, it's about being energetic and being able to defend things. Not stabbing people, no.
Assertive.
But yeah, assertive. Okay, good. Yeah, what's the biggest takeaway from today? We can, yeah. It's there for the picking. And if we ever have questions, just dive into the Bible. And they're very contradictory, and they will most likely morph religious education to be something airy fairy and wishy washy, and you know, it's a way to think about life and live, but it's not actual hard science, hard fact. But actually, there is far more fact in a religious studies class often than there is in a evolutionary biology class. So yeah. Definitely take that away. That's good. So, after you've studied, after you've learnt, it's always important to go back and actually talk to God about it, because unless we develop that muscle, that working relationship where it's live and real, our discussion with God feeds into everything that we think and believe, then there's not much point to it either. So, let's keep that relationship personal, despite, you know, the level that we engage our brains at. We need to stay personal and in relationship and thinking about things on a conversational scale. Because God created us. He knows. He's got the full manual. You know, he does the diagrams. He's got the instruction book. He can fix everything within us. And he's lived a human life, a fully human life, start to end. He knows everything we've gone through, everything we will go through. And he's fully understanding and... yeah, he's the source of all knowledge and truth. So let's close now by praying just quickly, and then we'll take communion. So Lord, we just thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it has been passed down so carefully, generation to generation, and that there is, you know, there are such power in the Bible. There is more proof of facts in the Bible than there is of most of our recorded history outside of it, and that it's the most accurate historical document of them all, and every historian acknowledges that in terms of it being copied word for word. And Lord, we just know that you set that about to give us something we can be assured of, something we can settle our own minds with, the fact that we have that handbook there to study and to glean knowledge from. But Lord, we want to stay in personal relationship with you. We want to be able to converse with you, to test these things in conversation, and to come up with responses and written code for our own lives that is based on your conversation with us. So Lord, we just pray that you will continue to speak, that we'll pray over this week and be hearing your voice. If we ever do see something that challenges our foundations, that we'll go back to the scriptures and verify them again and again. And Lord, that we will be able to keep our minds safe to defend them violently against any pressing or opposing thought and philosophy, whether that's from the internet, from the media, from anything we're hearing outside of us. We'll just be able to keep that foundation sure and safe. And we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.